Mr. Atkins, relating. Mr. Atkins, at the end of the last wheel, you just reached the point where you'd arrived at the hospital in Posen.
Yes, the two doctors didn't really examine me, but just told me that it was a hospital for Russian prisoners of war, and they couldn't admit me. But I told them it was getting late. I explained to them that I was arrested and I have nowhere to spend the night. And also that I didn't feel well. I felt weak. And after a short consultation, they told me and my friend that they will put me up in one of the rooms, not in the ward, the main ward, on one of the rooms on the first floor, and that following morning I should leave. So I agreed to do that, and we went upstairs. We had something to eat, and it was getting late. And it might have been a classroom before, but there were few beds, maybe four or five, around the perimeter of the room, and it was open in the middle. No one was in the room, and we occupied the two beds, and we spent the night there. The following morning, my friend wanted to leave. He was afraid, and I said to him that I didn't feel strong enough to get up and to walk, and I would stay in bed. So we said goodbye to each other, and he left. After sort of an hour, I went downstairs, and the receptionist was there, and I told her that I would like to stay longer because I didn't feel well. And she said, that's all right. I asked where the two doctors were, and she said that they left. And I don't know if it was her or somebody else that told me that they left with the Belgian girls. They departed to Belgium.
The girls you'd met earlier?
The girls, those two doctors, those two Jewish doctors, that they left. So I had something to eat. The receptionist told me where to go to get something to eat. No one asked me any questions. And I went back to bed, thinking I'll rest a bit longer. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a Russian officer came in with a soldier. They didn't look at me at all. It turned out that the soldier was a hairdresser, a barber. And the major, the Russian officer, sort of sat down in the middle, and the barber, the soldier, started shaving him. And I was lying in bed just observing the scene. They were talking to each other, and obviously they knew that I was there, but they didn't ask me any questions, didn't say anything. And that took maybe half an hour to three quarters of an hour. And what I noticed, that the soldier who was shaving his face was sort of very subservient. He was very anxious to please him and putting some powder after he shaved him and sprayed some perfume or some eau de cologne or whatever, and brushed his uniform and so on. And I was just observing it for, you know, the three quarters of an hour, thinking how somehow it seemed to me that the soldier was frightened of the major. You know, there was such fear. And then they both walked out without looking at me. And 5 minutes later, a nurse came in and said, come on, follow me.
Was there nobody else in any of the
There was nobody else in any of the other beds. It was an empty room. And she says, come in, follow me. And she took me to the bathroom, and I said, I'll have a bath myself. You know, she wanted to know if I was strong enough to have a bath. I said, no, I'm all right. I wanted to bathe myself. I washed myself. Then she brought yellow pajamas and took me right to the top of the building, where there was a large room with about 30 beds. And each one was occupied by a Russian soldier, you know, dressed in exactly the same yellow pajamas as I was. Nobody asked my name, but I could easily recognize that they were all Russian, ex-Russian prisoners of war from the Germans. And there wasn't much talking going on. We were lying in beds, waiting. Later a doctor came in, listened to my chest and listened to the other chest, didn't say anything. And then we got up for supper and queued up. We went to another room to eat. They didn't bring the food to our beds. None of us was sort of really bedridden. We could all go out and move about. None of us was really ill. We simply were hungry and thin, worn out. Well, the food was very good. My appetite was very good, and I don't remember what it was, but whatever it was, I liked it very much.
Did you get
plenty? Plenty, yes. A cooked meal. And then we spent the night on the ward, and the following morning, again, big breakfast. No one asked my name again, no one was talking to me, and few of the Russians knew each other, so there wasn't a lot of sort of talk between the others. And after breakfast, the day was beautiful, very sunny, and after breakfast I walked down in the pajamas and sat down on the steps outside. This must have been about noon, 11, 12 o'clock. I sat down on the steps. There was a wide flight of steps in front of the hospital or school. And I was sitting in the sun. And then I noticed from a distance that a group of Germans were being led by Russian soldiers. And I recognized that they were the same guards that brought me to Pilsen the day before. They obviously rounded up some other group of people, and they were bringing them to Pilsen. And they stopped directly opposite the hospital and sat down on the grass. There was a grass verge. They sat down. And I was looking at them, and I noticed that the Germans were all civilian Germans and older. They might have been 50, 60 years old men in civilian clothes. Maybe some of them were even older. And without thinking, I crossed the road and just stood very near them. And they started asking me for water, Wasser, bitte, Wasser. And some of them had bottles, and others had the military, what do you call the thing, where you have
a flask.
It's a metal container. You eat your food from it, or you drink water. I don't remember what the name is.
Billikan.
Yeah, that's right. And they say, Wasser, bitte, Wasser. And they were virtually lying at my feet. And the Russian guards didn't do and didn't say anything. They were just standing. And I, without thinking, I lifted as many billy cans and flasks as I could. I crossed the road, and near in the courtyard, there was a pump in the middle of the courtyard. And I tried to fill the billy cans with water, but I wasn't strong enough to pump. And a teenage girl was actually filling a bucket, and she laughed, seeing that I wasn't strong enough to do it. And she helped me to fill everything. I was holding the flasks. She was pumping. And then I brought the water, and then I came again. I took more flasks and filled them again. And they more or less threw themselves at my feet, danke schön, you know, thank you, thank you. And they drank. They were very thirsty. There was no thought in my mind at the time. I did it absolutely automatically, without thinking. It was a sort of an automatic reflex, and my mind was blank. Having given them all water, the Russian soldiers came to me one by one, shook my hand, and embraced me, and there were tears in their eyes. And I found it terribly moving. I ignored them while I was doing it. I don't think they recognized me, because I looked like a typical Russian prisoner of war. My head was shaven. So they realized I was from the hospital. They thought I was an ex-prisoner of war by the Russians. Now, looking at it now, and they thought, here I am, having spent some years in captivity, I was giving water to the Germans, and they found it terribly moving somehow and embraced me. But there was no thought in my mind. I didn't think that they were German, that they could have been in the army. It was just didn't pass through my mind whatsoever. And after that, I recrossed the road and walked out of Pilsen. And I walked outside. It was very near was the countryside. And I cannot describe the feeling. It was a feeling as if I was light, as if I didn't weigh anything, complete weightlessness. And happiness. And there was no thinking. I didn't think, oh, they were Germans and I shouldn't have given them water, or I should have. These thoughts absolutely didn't cross my mind at all. It was simply, I don't know how long I spent, maybe half an hour. I walked maybe for half an hour. Then I lay down. The day was absolutely beautiful. The sun was shining, birds were singing. That was middle of May or latter part of May. The sky was absolutely blue. The weather couldn't be more beautiful. And I climbed onto a hill and lay down on the grass. There were a few silver birches. And I thought at that moment, I had a very strange feeling. I thought I would die at that moment and was very happy. And I don't know how long I was lying there. And suddenly, on the nearby road, a motorbike sort of revved up and passed. And that sort of jerked me and woke me up. I wasn't asleep really, but sort of jerked me out, and something told me I must go back to the hospital. I must go back. I must return. And the spell was broken. That feeling, which I'm unable to describe.
Do you think you would have died if you'd not
been? I don't know. I felt very weak. And before, and I know I was in a I wasn't ill, I was just exhausted. And but that's the sort of feeling I had at that moment. And then I walked back to the hospital, and it was went back to the ward, and then queued up for the food again, and spent another night in there.
Do you feel that this was in any way a kind of time of coming to terms with what we've been through?
I cannot explain it really, because there were my mind was not. I wasn't thinking at that during that period. There was no logical sort of thinking about anything. So I cannot, whatever words I try to describe with now, it will not do it justice. That's the feeling I have. Very difficult to explain it, and I never felt anything like that before or since. Well, must be something to do with it, but I don't understand it. Why should exhaustion create that kind of feeling of utter help, sort of happiness, lightness,
euphoria?
Why should it, why should it create such a feeling? I cannot explain that. Then the day after, again after breakfast, a lorry came and we were told that we were being taken to Prague. It was an open lorry, and I got a Russian uniform. We all got uniforms. My uniform was a little too big for me. But issued with a uniform, the same as all the others.
Nobody questioned
me, nobody asked my name. It was just assumed I was an ex-prisoner of war, like all the other Russians.
How did you feel about going to Prague? And did you think through what you might want to do?
I didn't think. It was just, again, I was exhausted. Although I was eating, my appetite was good, I was constipated. So obviously there was something physically wrong with me, and I was tired. I couldn't walk for any length of time. Yes, we climbed onto the lorry, an open lorry, about 30 men, and one woman was brought on a stretcher. Her head was bandaged, and someone said she was an Austrian woman from Vienna. She was 20 or 22, and she was maybe unconscious, because she was the only one sort of lying in the middle of the lorry, but we were all more or less in the same conditions. The ride was bumpy. It was about 60 kilometers, maybe 80 kilometers. Took a couple of hours, and we arrived in Prague. Well, I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't know anybody. The others, one or two, talked, I didn't, no one asked me anything, and I couldn't start a conversation. My Russian wasn't all that good. And I didn't feel like talking and telling people. I just waited to see what was going to happen. And we arrived in Prague in a courtyard in front of a very palatial building, which was again either some kind of a school converted into a hospital. Very beautiful building, very large. And we were taken to the basement, and we took off our uniforms, had showers, and got our yellow pyjamas. And then we were taken onto the first floor, very large room, which was, maybe it was a hospital before the war, I don't know. The rooms were very, very large. The whole building was huge. But an old building, you know, not a modern building. And the ward was much larger than the one I was in Pilsen. There might have been 50 people on the ward. And again, the doctor came. He didn't have a stethoscope. He put a white sort of handkerchief on my chest and listened with his ear. It was very strange. And he did it to all everyone. And he gave everybody sort of colored pills. And there was sort of yellow, red, and other brown. And told us to take two or three every few hours. I didn't take any of them.
Why?
But there was I don't know, I just... No, I didn't think I really needed any vitamin pills or whatever they were. I have no idea what they were. Again, no one asked my name. We got up for breakfast, we got out for midday meal, for evening meal, plenty of food, but I was constipated. Didn't bother me somehow, but and my appetite was still very good. And in the hospital, there were some, what frightened me a little bit, and I thought I will not survive, because my toenails turned to bluish color. And before, when I saw corpses, their toenails were blue. So I thought, oh, I'm dying. I must be dying, because these are the first signs. So I was worried all the time, and I couldn't sleep. Although I was lying all day in bed most of the time, except getting up for meals, and I was also what frightened me, there were German, older German workers who were doing cleaning the wards, washing the floors and so on. And there was an elderly woman, and when she passed near my bed and looked at me, she crossed herself. So I thought, what's the matter with me? I must be in a terrible state that she was sort of looking at me and crossing herself. So that made me a little frightened. And then nearly 2 weeks passed, and I still didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't talk to anybody, no one asked me, no one. There were a few people talking to one another. I listened, I observed, but I didn't have a conversation with anybody.
Did you
feel withdrawal? Well, I just wanted to know, I just thought, well, if I rest and get a bit stronger, then I'll be able to do something about it. And that was already, I would say, beginning of June. And one afternoon, it was announced that there will be some big celebration on the top of the building. I don't know what was the occasion. I don't know if it was some festival, some commemoration, and so on. And all the patients who were able, which means majority, virtually everybody on our ward, because everybody could get up and go for a meal, and many of them were quite fit. Everybody was invited to go up to the top building for drinks and dancing and so on. And I thought, well, I felt a little bit stronger by them. That was already 2 weeks after I was first brought in there. And I thought that maybe the best time to escape. And so what I decided to do, when the nurses came and said everybody can go upstairs now to celebrate, you know, for drinks and dancing, I said I didn't feel well, that I would rather stay in bed. I was the only one left in the ward. I waited, there was music coming from the top of the building, was 8 o'clock in the evening or 9 o'clock. And I decided that if I, in order to escape, I need to find my uniform, because I cannot go during the night in my pajamas. So I went to the, I passed the main entrance, and the guard, there were guards standing outside the main entrance. But I went, when the guards were not looking, I walked down into the basement and tried to find the place where the uniforms were kept. Where we, but I must have taken the wrong corridor or something, and I ended up in a room where there were only white overalls, nurses' uniforms. And I was opening various cupboards and looking, and there were all sort of white uniforms, aprons and so on, for doctors and nurses. And again I thought, well, I cannot escape in a white uniform like that. And suddenly I heard some footsteps. So I went into the cupboard and closed the door. Half a minute later the doors were open, and the nurse, she was a bit older, maybe 40-year-old nurse, sort of looked at me, very surprised, and said, "What are you doing here?" I didn't answer, and she, after a moment, she burst out laughing, thinking that maybe I was at the party drinking or something, and said, "Come with me, what ward are you on?" So I said, "I'm on the first floor, such and such ward." So she says, "Come, follow me." And as she passed the main entrance, she was laughing and telling the guards that I must have had too much to drink, and went down into the nurses, where the nurses' uniforms were, and now she's taking me back to my ward. And she thought it was a very big joke, and she was laughing her head off and took me back to the ward. And that was how my escape, finished in failure.
Was she Russian?
She was Russian, yes.
Did she not think it was strange that you couldn't speak much Russian?
She thought it was strange, probably, but you see, there were Ukrainians, it's slightly different. I didn't say much, I said a few words. And Russia is a huge country, and parts of Ukraine and parts of others, people speak different dialects, so probably it's, she didn't think anything suspicious about it. She just jumped to this conclusion without really asking me, "What are you doing there?"